facialbook.com.
America! 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 Fuck yeah!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super Podcast. I am the terrible Australian, Bede. I hope you're all doing very well today. And with me, as always, is my co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hi. Oh, hi. I'm well. How's your sex life, huh?
It is pretty good. My sex life is completely awesome.
Is it with Denny?
No, it's with Lisa. It's with both Lisa and her mother.
10 points to Bede for being creepy.
We already crashed.
Bede ruined it.
I'm good, thanks, Marcy. How are you?
I'm well.
It's nice to be back on the show after missing the last few episodes. We tried to mysteriously disappeared.
Well, the last one was like one that had nothing to do with the Super Podcast. And the one before that, I don't even remember. You just weren't invited.
Grudge against me for saying like Evil Dead was only a good movie and not a great movie.
Yeah. And the fact that you're just terrible.
But I'm not terrible. It's a misconception.
Yeah, right. Well, you were on the Movie Exchange Club podcast. That was the last one.
Yeah, but that was like 20 episodes ago.
That was like the last podcast.
Yeah, but what about the Saw podcast?
That's because you weren't invited, and that was like something that was thought up between myself and Copca.
But I like Saw.
And then with the Harry Potter podcast, that was something that Logan and I thought up of.
Yeah, well, I can get that because, you know, I hadn't seen Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's your fault. And then the one before that, you went online. So there you go. Anyway.
I'm going to cry now, Marcy.
You should.
Sad and depressed.
You should. But anyway, we have guests and podcasts to do. I can no longer
live in this world.
We have a podcast to get on with and guests to be introduced, B.
I'll introduce our guest for today. First up, of course, is one of our many, many, many awesome guests. He is making his return to the show after a few weeks. Is the one, the only Canadian bacon himself, Nick Bosworth. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Oh, hi there, Bede. And hi, Marcy. It is good to be back. I'm just taking this one step at a time now. And Dobby also likes to be back.
He's very happy. There we go. Now it feels normal.
Yes, exactly.
Been presented with glow.
And what have you been up to lately, Nick?
Oh, God. School's over. Work begins. Career starts. Movies keep going by. And I don't know.
But you also went to somewhere pretty awesome recently.
What, sorry?
You went to someplace really awesome, like, a few weeks ago.
Yes, I did. Definitely a place I look forward to going to again next year, but just with a little more prep. Comic-Con was pretty awesome, although if you're claustrophobic, you are fucked at this place.
I can imagine.
It is. It's overwhelming. To be honest with you, I walked through it, and I'm like, I don't even know how fire code allows this. Like, if there was some sort of emergency, we're all fucking dead. We're going to trample each other. It's that bad.
Awesome.
But you recommend everybody to go, despite that issue.
Yes, exactly. I just don't recommend that you line up in front of me for Hall H or, you know, any of the panels that I want to see.
Well, I guess it seems like you had a really awesome time, Nick, and I'm really happy to hear that you had fun.
Thanks, Bede!
I'll have to, because I have made a promise to myself. I am going to try to make it to Comic-Con next year somehow. I don't know how, but I will. And you better be there to meet me, Nick.
I definitely plan on it. And man, oh man, I definitely being part of the Joe Blow crew definitely had its big ups. Actually, being able to meet all the, you know, top staff of Joe Blow was kind of crazy enough, you know, let alone the actual Comic-Con itself. But yeah, it's with a little more prep and, you know, booking a little earlier, definitely be there next year.
Cool. Awesome. Well, hopefully I'll see you then.
Hopefully we'll see you then. Then
aren't you also coming to Marcy?
Yeah, totally. I'll be there, man.
We're gonna make like a super podcast get together.
Yeah, we're gonna have like a whole booth set up at Comic-Con, and everybody will be there to see us and not anybody else. Yeah, because like we're gonna get invited to do like Hall H, and we'll be there like. And we'll just have the biggest thing ever, like Twilight. Yeah, forget that. It's super podcast, man.
And we're going to have Tommy Wiseau moderate our panel.
You know what I think, Marcy? I think we should do like a live reading of our Commando commentary in Hall H. Like play the movie in the background and we reenact like the entire movie.
Totes, man.
That'd be awesome.
And don't we have another guest with us, by the way?
Our next guest is an American, and that's appropriate for this episode, which you'll find out very short. You'll find out why very soon. He's coming back after being on the show, I guess, was it the week before or 2 weeks ago, Marcy?
It was a couple of weeks back for Harry Potter.
Yes, and he's back here to more awesomeness with us, and that of course is Mr. Logan J. Fowler. How are you going, Logan?
Oh, sorry guys, I was googling pictures of Hayley Atwell, and now there's a super soldier in my pants. No, I'm good. Actually, my voice is cracked, so it's like, oh, I'm nervous. I'm doing well. It is Thursday evening here in America. I'm sure it's Thursday even there in Canada, too.
Oh, yes, it is. It's a bright 10 o'clock at night. I do love it.
It's like Friday.
One more day of work left in the week. And, you know, unfortunate that the summer movie season is kind of drawing to a close.
We still have Conan.
I'm not really interested in Conan.
I love Conan. Stephen Lang, so I have to see it.
But otherwise, to answer your question, Beat, I'm doing well.
Cool.
So thank you for asking. Glad to be back on the PC, a.k.a. podcast.
Well, I'm glad you're here, Logan, because it wouldn't be appropriate to do this episode of the show if there wasn't an American on this show, because our topic discussion for today is Captain America.
Captain America! The first
one from the 80s or 90s or whatever that was.
With Matt Salinger, a.k.a. J.D. Salinger's son.
All about Matt Salinger. That's what we're doing this episode about. No, just, we're doing the new one.
Oh, damn it.
We're going to do the new one that has Chris Evans in the role of
Chris
Captain
Evans. Evans.
Wait, isn't that the Human Torch? How dare they?
What?
How dare they have like an actor play two superhero characters in the Marvel Universe? Dare they?
Well, he can. No,
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, but that's DC and Marvel. It's different.
Yeah, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I associated him first as Deadpool, and then seeing him as Green Lantern was very confusing.
Mm. I can see that. Like, I thought...
The Monday after I saw... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was expecting Captain America to just explode into flames.
Well, it's... It's a very difficult character to bring to life. There's no question.
Mm. And can you imagine if he like went into flames and it's like that's how the Red Skull got his like wicked sunburn?
Okay.
One day after Captain America, I went to Target or a store like here that we have, and I was like immediately went in and bought like the Captain America like frisbee, and it is the best frisbee that I've ever owned in my life. Like legit, it flies the best. I was like, this was the best $8 I ever spent.
I can't do frisbee very well. I kind of suck at playing frisbee. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
I should have thrown it well because I am an American, so you guys probably want to throw it as well as I do.
Yeah, we want to throw boomerangs because we're Australian.
Exactly.
Throw knives.
That's true.
That's not a knife.
I don't know what Canadians throw. So.
They throw bacon.
We throw timbits. It's our miniature version of a donut.
Oh, nice. I was going to ask, who does the midget tossing?
That's Everyone. Magic.
That's magic.
I think all of us do. It's some shape or form.
Those poor midgets.
I mean, like, who doesn't love midget tossing?
Anyway.
I think the sequel to Captain America, they should just get a midget and just, like, paint him red, white with a star in it, and that could be Captain America's midget.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, get Vern Troyer.
All the midgets going to be like, fuck this podcast.
Alrighty, I think we've just offended practically all the little people on the planet.
Yeah, I apologize to
worse than that Werner
midgets.
Herzog movie that we were talking about way back.
Oh, yeah.
With that little laughing guy. That's a disturbing video if you ever look for it on YouTube.
Indeed. I guess we could talk about the start off with our general impressions of Captain America the First Avenger, like what we overall think of the movie. I think I might start off with Marcy. Marcy, what did you think of Captain America, the First Avenger?
All I could think about while I was watching this movie was just going, America, fuck yeah! Thanks to that, the song that somebody edited over the first teaser trailer. as I was sitting down, all I could just think was that song in my head. but I was kind of looking forward to it because, A, it's Chris Evans, and I figured with Joe Johnson directing it, I think he's a pretty solid director, and he did a really good job with The Rocketeer, so I thought he sounded like a really solid choice. And they had a pretty decent cast, like you've got Tommy Lee Jones and Hugo Weaving and Stanley Tucci. So I was pretty excited. I mean, initially I was kind of like, I don't know if I really care about a Captain America movie because the other one kind of was hilariously bad. And then, of course, I'm Australian and there's, you know, conflict of interest. No, I'm just kidding.
But it does have an Australian in the cast, though.
Let's yeah, so that. that's what won me over because they did get Hugo Weaving in the movie. But I was sort of, you know, Chris Evans was on board and I really like Chris Evans. He's so fine. but I honestly didn't really know too much about the character, so I kind of went into it more fresh as to everything. But, you know, this movie, I think it has... It definitely has heart, it has integrity, it builds up a really strong character with Steve Rogers, and it sort of just all works. Like, it has the feel of the time that it was set, it adds in perfect nods to, you know, what's come before with the addition of Howard Stark and... you know, that sort of stuff. But I think it just all came together really well. It was entertaining. It was well acted. It was fun. And I had a really good time. And surprisingly, the 3D wasn't headache-inducing when I went and saw it because I could only see it in 3D because the other sessions were... the 2D sessions were on at a time that I couldn't attend. But that in that aspect, it wasn't disappointing. It was actually pretty clear. I didn't get a headache. So it was overall a really good experience.
Cool.
And, yeah.
I think, Nick, what is your impressions of Captain America?
Fuck yeah.
fuck yeah!
Actually, Nick should tell us where he saw the movie.
I was actually thinking that myself. Some might have seen a couple weeks back, Marcy put up a review that I wrote. On the very first day of Comic-Con, they actually had a special screening a couple blocks away at a local theater. It's called the United Artists Theater. I thought it was pretty cool. I think the studio actually bought it out. But yeah, they had the first ever public screening of the film that was not filled with press. And at first I didn't buy it, but then I realized, holy shit, yeah, this is the first public screening when I started thinking about it. And Chris Evans himself was there, gave a little... speech in front of us talking about, you know, he was really proud of the movie and, you know, usually you expect the same old speech from, you know, the lead actor of any movie, but he really did sound like he had a lot of heart in it. And, yeah.
I'm just going to say I hate you.
Yeah, totally.
I love you guys. Nobody loves you. No, but the, no, it was great. I actually took some video of it. It's up on Joe Blow still. And, yeah, so we all watched the film. There was 900 people in the lineup for three different screenings. It was absolutely fucking ridiculous. But everybody wanted to see it. So anyway, first off, absolutely love the movie. I love the characters since the beginning. I didn't really grow up on the comics, as most in our generation really didn't. It's just not one that really jumped out at us as kids. But I, under the direction of Joe Johnston, being a massive fan of Rocketeer, I really figured that the Captain America theme, you know, about patriotism and love for America, things like that, I figured he could nail that with Captain America, and he did. And for those who have seen the movie, even though the movie's awesome from start to finish, my favorite, without question, is when they put him in the original outfit from the comics with the wings on the head, and they have him campaigning around the country. That, to me, was one of the most special moments of the entire film. I had such a big-ass smile on my face for that whole thing. You know, him holding up the girls on the motorcycle and punching out Hitler. And I was like, that is fucking brilliant. And Joe handled it perfectly. And Chris, of course, was terrific in the role. I love the idea that he got casted ever since I saw Sunshine many years ago. The guy can act. And Hugo Weaving, brilliant villain, great as Red Skull. I thought the Red Skull makeup was fantastic. It didn't take away from the acting. It was badass. And it was really, you could still tell, though, that Hugo Weaving was under. Oh, yeah.
The only thing that I had issue with in terms of his performance, his accent was so absolutely bizarre. I had no idea what the hell was going on.
Well, I remember they said it was like a combination of Werner Herzog and some other German artist. I can't remember who it was. And he listened to the two of them and he kind of morphed it into his own German accent.
It sort of was like German, but not really.
There were times he was kind of slipping out of it, too.
You could hear his Australian accent a little bit at times.
It was slipping out. But his first introduction, though, in Norway, which
was awesome.
Was fucking awesome. The shot of him standing on the rubble, you know, looking down into the chamber, and everybody's turned around to look at him, is like, that is a fucking villain. That is an entrance. And anyway, that was great. I love the storyline. I love the integration with all the other characters. Haley Atwell. say with that. Toby Jones was great as well.
And he wasn't Dobby
wants
to work for
Red Skull. I require credit. But the one man who I thought stole the film, Tommy Lee Jones, of course.
Yeah, hands down, he was.
Doesn't matter what the hell that man does, he could just sit there. And there's one scene where he's chewing on a steak, and I was like, you know what? He could have just sat there and done that for the whole movie.
And I love the line that he sort of delivers that has to do with when Steve was looking at Haley, and then he splurts out a line. I thought it was really funny.
Oh, yeah, I know the one you mean.
I don't want to spoil it, but yeah.
No spoilers. But but the one guy who I think truly stole the film, and I think a lot of people are in agreement on this, is the great Stanley Tucci.
Definitely. He's awesome.
His relationship with Rogers in the beginning, and why he chooses Rogers to be part of the superhuman program, super
it's
soldier,
perfect.
Sorry. And
it's just perfect.
It is. And there's a little sit down in particular that they have the night before the procedure. And, you know, some might think it was corny or cliched, but it was just perfect.
And with the schnapps.
With the schnapps. I am having procedure. No, you're having procedure. And it was just what a great movie. And of course, action was very well done. Use of the shield was great. And There's too many things I could say about it. Overall, yeah. I loved it.
It was big awesome. Yeah, it was funny because when I got back from the movie, because I went to a later screening, and I came through the door, my mum was still awake, and she goes, "Oh, how was it?" And I'm like, "It was awesome. I want to be Captain America, except Australian and a female." I just had such a great time.
I was gonna say, did she get really pissed at you?
No, she just laughed because I'm like, I want to be Captain America. I'm like a 26-year-old woman who wants to be Captain America.
Go to America.
And mom's like, and I'm like, but Australian, Nana Chick.
Go get your green card.
So that was pretty funny. But I think just the way that the movie was and the, you know, my reaction was like that of a 5-year-old kid who would have been like, I want to be Captain America too. So, yeah. And for the record, Bede, yes. Chris Evans was so awesome in this movie that I did not even think about the Anton Yelchin incident.
Now you just brought that out. Now I can't stop thinking about it now.
But I just want one last thing I forgot to add. The way they did Chris Evans as the really skinny, short Steve, in the trailers I thought that looked dumb and it disturbed me, but in the film it actually came together really well and it was good.
I was so blown away by the visual effects of that. There was maybe once or twice where I was like, yeah, that doesn't look that great. But then there were other scenes, like when he was in full motion, like the alley fight.
Mm.
You know, it would cut to him moving around, all that. It was perfect.
The sure
proportions
was.
Of his head to the body was, they did an excellent job. Mm. They definitely took great care with that. And of course, with movies like The Social Network with the twins, you know, that kind of work. And we've definitely come a long way in that. But even Dominic Cooper was awesome as Howard Stark.
Yeah, he was really awesome.
Just perfect. Just fucking fabulous movie.
I want to party with that guy.
I want to see the Devil's Double.
Now that we sort of had a perspective from an Australian and a Canadian when it comes to Captain America, I think it'd be a good opportunity to hear what an American thinks of this movie. So what did you think of Cap-Am, Logan?
Cap-Am. You know, like, I pretty much think the three of you really, like, loved it, like, all around. I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong. I did have my problems with it. Kind of focusing on the good parts first. Chris Evans did a awesome job as Captain America. Really just surprised me, because I kind of had doubts, like a lot of other people. But when I heard Edgar Wright recommended him for the role, I was like, well, that settles that then. And then pretty much, like, you know, I was reading in Entertainment Weekly the other day. It's just like this movie could have been a lot worse because he's a really tough character to bring to the screen. But I think they did a great job with it. They made it really enjoyable and they kind of gave it this like old timey, like good fashion fun feel. And the other thing is, too, is I didn't put this in. I actually wrote two reviews of it, one for Marcy's website and one for the other website I work for. But the propaganda posters at the end credits are just really cool. Like, I really dug those, the attention to detail and stuff like that. So my problems with it were, I mean, I really liked the cast. Everyone did a great job, especially, like you guys said, Stanley Tucci and Tommy Lee Jones, Haley Atwell. But I think that my biggest problem with it was that the first act of it kind of was like, you know, it was well-paced, you know, the origin part of it. And then I just felt like, you know, from then on, there on out, it felt just kind of like a race to the finish. I felt like the second act of it was kind of rushed. Not to say that I didn't like it, you know, seeing Captain America just like throwing a shield around, like kicking ass, taking names, being American. but, you know, I felt that they rushed to get him into the future as quickly as possible as they set up for the Avengers, which is coming out next summer, which I'm looking forward to get me wrong. And the movie did get me amped for it. But that was my biggest problem with it. I just felt like it was a lot of rush. I didn't really, I liked Chris Evans and Haley Atwell together, but I really just wasn't, I didn't really, I felt that the love interest part of it or like the relationship was rushed. But I felt that as compared to Thor, the other Marvel Studios movie, I thought this worked a little bit better. But for Thor, it just didn't really work for me. But gripes aside, you know, I really did have fun with it. A definite, you know, a good summer flick. And I, you know, as an American, I enjoyed it highly. Just, you know, a couple of things I had gripes with. But other than that, you know, it's a fun time and definitely way better than I thought it would be. So, not A+, because obviously I couldn't give this like a B out of a B. I don't know what I'm saying.
A B out of what?
Logan, this should have been Logan. You should have given this an A for America.
It's true.
Fuck yeah,
A plus.
A for the terrorists.
A for Atwell. I'll give her an A.
I guess I should say what my feelings. I had an absolute blast watching this in the cinema. I should say, like the night before, I was gonna. I went to 11 o'clock showing. 11 a.m. showing of the film, and I actually had a very terrible night before when it came to sleep. I think I only slept for like 3 hours, and I had this sort of fear if I go to watch this movie sitting in the cinema, I would actually fall asleep while watching the film. As soon as the movie sort of, from the absolute beginning right to end, this movie pretty much had me hooked. I was wide awake, and I was absolutely loving every single minute of it. It was just so entertaining. I just had an absolute blast. I haven't had, in terms of sheer entertainment, I haven't had this much fun in the cinema in quite a while, actually. Like I've seen a lot of fun movies in the cinema, but I was as giddy as a schoolgirl watching this movie, and I just...
Oh, we know that for a fact, Derby.
Yes. I just had more fun in this.
A little skirt and everything.
I know, I was like, watching that. but I just had an absolute blast, and I, like I said, I loved every moment of it. And dare I say, I think this might be my favorite movie of the year so far. I love it that much. I think I might have loved this movie even more than X-Men First Class, to be honest.
I didn't.
Really?
That's a tough call.
I can't. It doesn't compete with Michael Fassbender and the raging Fassbender that I've had since that movie came out.
But it has, like, okay, maybe you're not Fassbending, I suppose just in terms of sheer enjoyment. Like, I mean, I loved X-Men First Class. I absolutely had a great time watching that, but I think I got even more entertainment value out of this movie than that one. Not to say that I didn't with X-Men First Class, but I think I even got more so with Captain America. I think because with Joe Johnson, the director, he sort of tapped into just the shit. Like, the tone is perfect for this movie. It's not too serious. It's not too campy. It's just the right bit of tone. Like, when it's sort of dramatic, it works. And when it sort of like has humor in it, it works. And also, I'm just trying to think that just to describe what the tone of the film felt like to me was the only thing I can think of in terms of which tone was similar to this film was Raiders of the Lost Ark, where
yes,
it had that perfect tone, and Joe Johnson was able to capture that into this film, and also The Rocketeer as well, because The Rocketeer had a very similar sort of tone as well. And I also love the fact that, like X-Men First Class and also The Rocketeer, this was a sort of a period comic book movie, and it added that to the sort of nostalgic feel of the film as well.
It's definitely that high adventure film. It's like Sky Captain.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny enough how the period aspect of it, they're all linked in that same fashion. You know, like this whole summer has been filled with period type films like that, even Super 8 and all that. It's like a return, you know, going back in time and seeing all these characters in those periods, and it's just something so refreshing and new about it. And I know what you mean there. I think, yeah, it was just so great from start to finish that movie.
I love the cast. Like, everyone did an absolute great job, like from the biggest roles to the smallest ones. I think Chris Evans, really fantastic job as playing both Steve Rogers and Captain America. Like, a lot of people sort of, when he was cast, a lot of people like, oh, he's just going to play like he played Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four movies. Like, well, go watch Sunshine and you can see him play a character that isn't just, you know, playing the, you know, the sarcastic, you know, snarky guy. Like, even though he's played that kind of role a lot of times before, not just the Fantastic Four films, Scott Pilgrim.
Look, it's me.
Yeah.
Or somebody get me my shield.
Or the losers. He knew, like, what kind of character he's playing, and he played it, like, as you would expect of a character like Captain America to be played. And his character was very interesting, and he also, even though it's kind of, you know, it's Captain America, and it's supposed to be, like, you know, the quintessential American hero, But what the filmmakers did, they were able to make the character, you know, still likable and sort of relate. Because they made him into the everyman that everyone could relate to in some way.
Mm.
And you don't even have to be an American to enjoy this movie, or at least get rattled up and go like, America, fuck yeah, or anything like that. And yeah. I think the movie does that just perfectly. And mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. And there's a lot of like little things about it, but we can probably talk more. What kind of sort of the standout performances stood out for you guys?
I think we sort of already said like Tommy Lee Jones Tucci. And Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
I mean, I really have to give Chris Evans a pat on the back. I'd love to, like, literally, but...
I'd love to pat him. I mean, what?
What?
Who loves on him?
You'd look to put a shield on him in, like, some other way, shape, or form.
No. Mm, pretty much.
You know, he took a character that was, like, everyone kind of had their doubts and just kind of, you know... I mean, he played it really, like, he wasn't, like, the frat boy persona that we've seen him in a lot of other roles. He really gave, like, Captain America, like, this feeling of, all right, he could hold his own against, like, Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr. in the Avengers. And that's what I was really looking forward to seeing, is that how well he could do that. And I think he definitely pulled it off with flying... red, white, and blue colors.
I see what you did there.
I mean, see what you did there.
Because you've got to remember, Captain America is supposed to be the leader of the Avengers. And some people thought, yeah. Oh, well, I don't see... Like, just before the movie came out, people were like, you know, they can't see, like, Evans, like, lead the Avengers. But after this movie, I can definitely say, yeah, I can definitely see Chris Evans, like, being the leader of the Avengers. Because he's the guy who can take charge, you know? And you see that a lot of that in the movie.
It doesn't matter, though, because Robert Downey Jr. is going to steal every single goddamn moment of that movie that he's in.
Yeah.
He's going to wear that Black Sabbath t-shirt for the entire movie. And he's going to
he's not going to go as like, he's not going to be even Iron Man. He's just going to wear the Black Sabbath t-shirt. The whole movie.
That's all he has to wear. He's going to walk up to the Hulk with that Black Sabbath t-shirt on. He's going to say, piss off, and the Hulk's just going to fucking shrink into a little tiny ant. I don't know. He'll turn into Ant-Man. There you go. But, I agree. I think Chris, even though he's like almost the youngest out of most of them.
Actually, I think Hemsworth is the youngest.
He does look older. Yeah. I don't know why, but I think it's the beard. It just makes him look older.
Mm. Yeah, it does. Although the long hair does make him just look prettier, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, you got to admit that Avengers is going to be filled with pretty people.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing but even Agent Coulson has a certain charm about. But yeah. And then there's Scarlet, of course. Hello.
Yeah.
But holy crap! The Avengers teaser. Did everybody see it?
Yeah. Saw a short version. I don't know.
When I went to see it, there were a lot of people, like a couple people in the cinema. But there was at the end of the credits, it was only just me and one other person in the cinema who stuck around for the end credits.
Yeah, more people sort of started to stay when they realized. Personally, I really didn't have very many issues with the movie. There were a few little things, but they didn't really ruin it at all. So, you know, I think it is like a really solid movie, and I'd definitely place it, you know, up there with Thor. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait for the Avengers, and it should be awesome.
You know, I have to say,
You always have to say something.
I just have to say that it's just finally good to see Neil McDonough in a good movie.
I know, I thought that. I'm like, holy shit, that's Neil McDonough. Holy shit, this movie's good. What the hell is going on?
Hey, he was in Star Trek First Contact.
I know, he was Hawkins. Oh, that's where I know him from. Like, the first time I saw Neil McDonough was in Star Trek First Contact. I'm like, wow, that guy's got really bizarre eyes.
Yeah. I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
Like his character in the movie, like he wasn't in the movie much, but it was he still like made like kicked ass in every like he just made the most of his role in the movie.
And yeah, he was really good though. Like, you know, he did a really great job.
Yeah, like just everybody. I love the sort of the little commando group that Captain America sort of teams up with. I think they're the Howling Commandos, which includes Neil McDonough and Derek Luke and a few others. And I just like sort of, I also like the fact that they're sort of like not just an American group. They were sort of like different nationalities sort of teamed up together. You had a court of different people who just came together to work with Captain America. So I thought that was pretty cool.
A lot of people were actually pissed off by that aspect, funny enough. Because they're like, well, where are the racial bullshit of that time period, you know? And I was like, yeah, they're not going to put that in a superhero film.
Yeah, but like the movie said, had to do one thing, and I don't. And if they kind of did the whole racial thing, it would have just been like dragged the movie down. And I don't think it was needed for this type of film.
Yeah.
Actually, just IMDb, Neil McDonough. How do you pronounce his last name?
Neil McDonough. I think
he was the voice of Bruce Banner in the Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction video game. Look at that.
Oh, there you go.
Which was actually a pretty kick-ass game, if I do say so
myself. Puny human.
But everybody knows that his most awesome role was in Street Fighter, The Legend of
Chun-Li. Oh, fuck that movie. Fuck that movie.
I wish he had got more screen time in the movie, but I thought he was amazing in Minority Report. As the pre-crime cop that's trying to catch Tom. I thought his scenes with Tom were pretty strong, but yeah, great cast in the movie. And I can't think of anybody else we might have left out.
Oh, well, I loved Hayley Atwell. I thought she gave such a charming performance.
Oh, yeah, she was so... Wow.
And she actually looked like she could have just stepped out of that sort of period. Like, the way they sort of gave like her costume and everything, but just like, you know, she wasn't like skinny or anything. She was just like the right shape of woman for the, at least around that time period. And I thought, and it just made her even more like charming and sexy and stuff like that.
That was another thing too. Like, I'm sorry, I cut you off, Bean.
Oh, that's all right. And I actually did love the, like the sort of the romance that sort of blossomed between her and Steve. I thought the romance in this film was actually done much better than it was between Hemsworth and Natalie Portman's in 4, because I felt in that movie it was like way too rushed, but I actually thought in this film it actually was well paced and like and all that. And I
it still kind of came out of nowhere, and I could see why they needed it to be there, like that way he has a lot to sort of, when, you know, as he comes into the present time, there's so much for him that he has lost, but I just still didn't really feel it that much.
I felt it a lot, though. Like, it sort of started from, like, when they the first time they meet, so it was, like, really early on in the film. And I kind of got the feeling in, like, for Hemsworth and Portman just wanted to bone each other really bad.
Well, did you ever see the interview?
The hammer is my penis. Them?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like,
sorry.
Did you ever see the interviews with the two of them? Like,
oh, yeah.
She's like literally giggling. She's like, I swear she was ready to say, yeah, I want him to like fuck me like right here. Like, she was, every time he spoke, she was like swooning.
Yeah. Like, I just thought it kind of was a bit, the romance angle was kind of done a bit more better in this film than it was.
He would have broken her in half.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Cat Denning would have been more appropriate, I think.
Meow meow.
Yep. Yes, meow meow.
Meow meow.
I guess if we have any closing thoughts about
I think I've pretty much said everything I needed to say on Captain America.
Go see it.
If I could just say one more thing, and that was, it's a positive, not a negative. It's really cool to see, I mean, like, I think Nick touched upon it, or Beat, or somebody who's a male, not Marcy. I know it wasn't Marcy. But it was just to kind of see a superhero in a different time period. It's kind of something that we haven't really seen before. And I think it was really just neat. I've always loved the attention to detail. So to see all that like 40s era stuff, you know, like the cars, the costumes, it just was really cool. And I, as much as I didn't love it as much as you guys did, I definitely think that Marvel did a great job this summer setting up for the Avengers, and I'm ready for next summer. It needs to come like right now. That's what she said.
Well, I agree. And they put out 3 awesome Marvel movies this year. And, you know, it was actually nice to see that Fox appears to be letting loose some control again, because X-Men turned out to be so great. And now I'm hearing that Rise of the Planet of the Apes is so good as well. So,
I can definitely segue into talking about briefly if we're finished with Captain America.
I do have one last thing to say.
Of course you do.
And you'll love this, Marcy. I had a very giddy moment towards the end. You're like, this is a spoiler. It's not like an actual scene. It's more like an image. You remember that scene towards the end with the kid, with the kids at the end, and they're playing Captain America, and one of them has a garbage can as a shield.
Oh, yeah, because you thought that was you.
Exactly. And it's funny though, when Evans had his like first ever Captain America costume on, mine looked almost exactly like that. Much worse.
Nice.
I think we need to see this video.
Yes. It might be even more better than the Evans version. But anyways,
It's probably better than the 90s version, yeah, I was going to say.
Yep, I guess we all love Captain America, and I definitely say everyone should go check it out. Because it's
definitely
awesome.
Go see it.
Okay, well, segue into like another aspect of the show, what we're going to be talking about today, is just like recent movies that we've checked out. Marcy, you saw a pretty awesome sounding film from yesterday. Would you like to tell us what that movie is?
I will. Instead of going into everything I've seen recently, which amounts to, you know, over 60 movies, I'll just single out, you know, the other big summer movie that came out here yesterday. That was Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I believe that is the correct title.
Maniacs! Dad, you blew it up!
Damn wait till my father hears about this.
Yes.
Dobby's not happy.
Dobby doesn't like apes. Anyway, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I guess to start with, I was sort of on, you know, thinking like, why would you make a prequel to a movie that is really, really old when they made a remake that kind of wasn't very good? And the one thing I guess that really sold me on the film was just the fact that Weta were behind the effects. And, you know, from the stuff they've done in the past, I knew at least that aspect visually it would be really good to watch. But the film actually turned out, on a whole, to be really, really good and enjoyable. I really liked the original Planet of the Apes. It's like one of the best sci-fi films out of that era. I didn't really like the sequels, and I really didn't like Tim Burton's remake. I mean, I appreciate the ideas he had and where he wanted to go with it, but I wasn't a really big fan. So
Tim Roth, only good thing about
it. Well, that's true. Tim Roth is the man. But, awesome. You know, I don't like where they went with it in the end. And so I was kind of, you know, yeah, I will see this prequel. And I got to say, the prequel definitely, I think, pays like homage to the original. And I think they kind of have set it up for a proper remake of that if they choose to go that route. But, you know, as a standalone movie, it's really good. It has a lot of interesting ideas and concepts. And, you know, where it really shines is with the main character, who is an ape called Caesar, played perfectly by Andy Serkis. He's the heart and soul of the movie. He's the one that you're really on board with. And it's amazing how they've crafted such a full character, and he's an animal. Like, he, you know, he's smarter than the average animal, but you feel everything for him, and he's a very engaging character. And
He's smarter than the average ape.
Hey, Bobo. But I don't know what it is about Andy Serkis and his ability to do this mocap stuff, but is he like actually like some intelligent ape or something? He can play them really well.
He's a talented mofo.
He really is.
He did King Kong too, didn't he?
He did. And I think he actually really outdoes the work he did with King Kong. And I think Weta as well outdid what they did with that movie. It's phenomenal. And there are times where you think he's real. There's so much realism there.
The CGI is good?
It's fantastic. You can see every little, like, little strand of fur on all the apes. You can see every little imperfection. It's so realistic. But, you know, as a whole, it really came together. It's an interesting story. I mean, some of it's a little, you know, that's a bit silly. But, you know, it's a movie about apes taken over, you know.
Yeah.
That's the original concept.
Some leeway there.
Yeah, but, you know, James Franco is really good, and Tom Felton is, like, totally awesome, and, you know, John Lithgow is fantastic, and it's really good to see him in such a different role. But, you know, overall, it's tops, and I really recommend that people go check this out, you know, within the next few weeks.
Cool, all right.
Definitely checking it out tomorrow night.
And, Logan, what have you seen that you want to maybe talk about quickly?
Actually, this past weekend I got to catch a little flick called Cowboys and Aliens.
Cowboys!
It's a movie about Cowboys and Aliens?
It's about James Bond and Indiana Jones hooking up.
I fucking loved that movie.
It is not out here yet.
No, actually, kind of on the same vein as Captain America, I was really curious, and, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what's this movie about? Like, really? Like, shut up. It's right there in the title. It's like Snakes on a Plane. Like, you can't mistake it for anything else.
Yeah, sure.
But, no, I mean, I went to go see it this past weekend because I was really interested to check it out because it just looked different, you know? And, like, not to say that I didn't love any of the comic book movies or the, you know, Transformers or whatever this past summer, but I was just, like, it was nice to see something that was kind of a little bit different from all the, like, other pop culture references or comic book movies, you know? And it was, like, I'm not a big fan of the Western, and Marcy and I have discussed it. Like, I mean, I've seen 310 to Yuma, and I haven't seen True Grit yet. You know, I guess she gets, like, hit later on in the wrist for that one.
But, genius.
But, you know, I mean, me and Marcy said, like, Back to the Future 3 is, like, our favorite Western.
Except for Tombstone, but, you know, that's correct.
Yeah, I was going to say...
But I can't go past a McFly.
Anyway, so to quickly just kind of get into it, so basically you have James Bond and Harrison Ford, or excuse me, James Bond and Indiana Jones in the same movie, which is awesome. And then you have Olivia Wilde, who just kind of not really giving much away to her character. I thought she was kind of a weak point, but she looks good. And, you know, but I'll always remember her as, what's her name in Tron Legacy?
Cora.
Yeah, that's the role I'm going to remember her as. But no, it was really different and it was really good. It was based on a graphic novel. But the aliens looked great. You know, the acting was great and it was just fun. And it was something, you know, it was nice to see Favreau kind of step away from the superhero genre and just do something a little bit different. And, you know, and I haven't seen all of his movies, but the ones I've seen, even Iron Man 2, which I didn't like as much as Iron Man 1 and I've complained about at length, is still an entertaining film. So the guy definitely knows how to direct. And it was definitely like a fun, not like kind of a brainless summer movie, not like a leave your mind at the door kind of thing, but he's got, you know, very good character-driven pieces, and then, you know, he balances it with sci-fi really well. So I'd say check it out. I really did like it a lot.
Yeah, I loved it too.
Do you want to talk about it as well, Nick, seeing as that's what you were going to go and talk about?
Yeah, it was like, oh, damn, stolen. No, I'm in total agreement. It was a very awesome film. I thought Daniel Craig absolutely delivered. He, like, throughout the film, anybody who's seen it, you can notice that Harrison and Dan are, like, trying to out-badass each other, like, in every single scene. And Dan just, you know, you think, oh, Daniel Craig, British guy, you know, he's all class and charm and all that. You think he couldn't fit into the role. He fits to a T. He's got the look right from the opening, you know, frame when he's when he wakes up, you know, and he has no idea who he is, where he is, or anything like that. Yeah, Olivia Wilde was way too hot to be in the West. It was actually kind of, it's like it would, you know, pan through a scene of all the cowboys, you know, inside.
Yeah, they're like all gray and shit.
Yeah, and then you see her and she's perfect. She just looks, and there are certain reasons for that, but I'm not gonna go into any kind of spoiler. But at times I was like, could she be any more perfect for this time period? But anyway, yeah, there was also Noah Ringer, who was also fantastic in it, who was horrible in The Last Airbender, but now I realize that was M. Night Shyamalan's fault. It was very different, like Logan said, and I think Favreau really, you know what? It almost made me want an actual lone Western film from Favreau because he handled the Western aspect of it so well. And he mixed the two together and the aliens were awesome, like Logan said, and fucking great show. Sam Rockwell was great. Clancy Brown.
Sam genius. Rockwell.
Yeah.
The man had an awesome stash.
Oh, I saw in the trailer. I'm like, I like him a lot.
Everybody should love Sam Rockwell, no matter what.
If they don't, they're retarded.
It's true. And Adam Beach, he was also great as Harrison's surrogate son. And yeah, it's just a fucking great story and molded together beautifully. I was going to mention as well, Your Highness. I saw that the other day. I'll just simply say, not as funny as it could have been. All the jokes were in the trailers. And if you haven't been spoiled as much by the trailers, I'd see it.
Okay, and Beach. What do you have? And be quick.
Okay. Recently, I checked. Finally, after like weeks of, you know, seeing it, I finally saw Transformers: Dark of the Moon, which was a lot of fun because I loved the absolute. I absolutely loved the first movie. Kind of mixed on the second, but I think this third one definitely is what the second movie should have been.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Totes my goats.
And like it, I think it's only because like it feels like it. This one has a bit more weight to it, and like it, like there's more stakes in this one than there were in the. In the second one, and it felt like in the second one, it felt like Bay kind of seemed a bit uninspired by the action scenes of that. But the action scenes in this one are absolutely amazing. I'm just like sitting there with my jaw dropped to the floor, just like how these action scenes were done, and I was pretty amazed by that. If there were any aspects of the film I didn't like I think the middle section of the movie kind of gets a bit convoluted, a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Only because like a lot of stuff sort of happens in the middle of the movie. Like the first half of the movie is, you know, pretty focused. You know, it's coherent. The last half, again, focused and coherent. It's just the middle section that's it just felt a bit convoluted. Even I was like trying to think, okay, how does? I don't know if that's because of plot holes or something like that. It just some things didn't measure up. So I actually went to the IMDb and I read the summary through that, and they actually cleared up some things for me. Kind of funny. But other than that, I just thought it was just a really fun time. And like, sure, there's some sort of, you know, not so good moments, like, you know, Ken Jeong.
Oh my god! Was,
yeah,
like his character could have worked, but he just really plays.
He's
it
so
way
over
too
the
over
top.
Top.
He's yeah, so over the top.
It could almost take you out of the movie if you let it.
Him and Malkovich.
Well, I kind of actually enjoyed Malkovich, but his performance. But I think although I kind of wish he was actually more in the movie, though.
Yeah.
I think the one who takes the cake is Alan Tudyk.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
awesome.
Alan Tudyk is awesome.
Alan was not in that long enough. No. I don't understand why they would waste him like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
He's
especially
awesome
in that one particular scene. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about.
And he has a very cool badass moment. And I was thinking, they might use him for something later in the last half of the movie. It's like, oh, no, that's basically it. Because I like they set him up to be like a badass. And then, you know, they don't really utilize it as much in the second half. But I can forgive it for that. But I actually did enjoy, like, Patrick Dempsey as
I didn't mind him to be honest.
That was an odd casting that just happened to work.
Yeah, he did, and it seemed like he was having fun playing a villain.
Yeah,
because like, you know, he sort of plays like the McDreamy and, you know, the sort of the hero kind of characters in other films and TV shows. It was just really cool to see him play a villain role and actually him really embracing that and having a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the CGI. Amazing as well. Probably, I think the CGI in this one is definitely the best of the three series so far. Even though all the films have had amazing visual effects, but this one, I don't know, it was something about this one that was even more amazing.
Did you see it in 3D?
Unfortunately, I didn't. Which was I missed the free. They did the cinema I went to did have it in 3D, but they stopped showing it in 3D like 2 weeks prior. And instead they gave all their 3D screenings to Harry Potter. So I was upset about that.
No, I got to see it at 3D and I was really glad that I paid extra money for it because it was fantastic.
Well, I saw it on the best IMAX screen in the world and it was kind of cool.
I was pissed off. Our IMAX screen didn't have it. They stuck with Potter.
Cars 2.
What's the one? Yeah, Cars 2. Yeah. I was like, shit, come on. Mm. Of all the movies... And but I only saw it in 2D, and 2D blew my mind on its own. But yeah, and we also can't forget the incredible voice talent of Leonard Nimoy.
And all the Spock references. I was like, we got it the first time.
They were genius.
I was like, yes, absolutely we got it the genius. First time, and then they kept doing them. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Come on, it's Leonard though.
Yeah.
And hey guys, Buzz Aldrin showed up as Buzz Aldrin.
That was kind of cool.
Massive spoiler alert to
Buzz
when
Aldrin.
He popped up, what I felt like the little kid in me was cheering. I was, oh my god, it's Buzz
Lightyear. I mean
I mean, yeah, it has problems, but ultimately, like, I mean, it definitely was like, hey, like, Revenge of the Fallen was like the whole memory of that was erased. Like, I felt like, I think Bay actually was like, all right, I'm going to listen to you guys, and then. And I'm not the biggest Megan. I'm not the biggest Megan Fox fan, so I was like, I didn't really care that she was dumped for this new
hot. I didn't give two. I couldn't give two shits if there was a hot chick in the movie. That's not why we're going to see it.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's why Michael Bay thinks you're going to see it.
The what?
That's
the
why Michael Bay thinks that you're going to see it.
Yeah, the thing, like the Rosie Huntington. I mean, she was fine, but she was no better than she saved the. She served the same purpose of Megan Fox. She was there for her first shot in the movie, spoiler, is her ass walking up the stairs.
Dude, if he had gotten that camera any closer to her ass, he would have been in her ass.
It was like Showgirls-esque ass.
You know, I kind of, like, as much as, like sort of everyone's sort of shitty on Megan Fox, but I actually think, at least in the first two movies, like, she actually had more to do in the sense, like, she actually sort of helps out at some point. When I rewatched the first one prior to this one, and she actually sort of helps out by getting, like, you know, in the battle, and Rosie Huntington just, like, you know, just gets kidnapped and stuff.
Well, no, she has that famous little talk with Megatron, which
I was okay, but it was like kind of a silly moment because
You're going to be Sentinel's bitch. I was like...
Yeah, that was dumb. Why
does she sound like Dobby?
That's one of my silly moments.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, because I don't buy Megatron just listening to, you know, a chick and just be like, he must have, like, really self-esteem issues.
Yeah. Well, I thought Megatron was going to, like, put out his hand and, like, give her a flick and launch her into a building or something. I would have cheered if Mike had the balls to do that. But then it was still good, though. Final hour, though, in Chicago, holy shitballs. I was exhausted by the end of that.
It was definitely awesome. Although I kind of wish it sort of kept on, like, the ending was a little longer because it seemed a bit abrupt.
Yeah, it just kind of cut off.
Especially since it's supposed to be, quote-unquote, I guess, the last one. I mean, in the...
Boy, it won't be the last one.
It won't be, but I mean, sort of like, you know, could have wrapped it up a bit more than... Dollar says an alternate ending or something, but anyways, but I really enjoyed it. I can understand somebody who liked the movie, but at the same time, you know, I had a lot of fun with it, so I'm not apologizing for it. So yeah,
cool. Shockwave was badass.
Indeed. I guess we can. Well, I also saw Bridesmaids, which was pretty hilarious. I recommend that movie as well.
You recommended it this week.
Sorry?
I said you recommended it this week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so. That's what I mean. I just want to give a quick shout out.
I'm doing it again.
Deathly Hallows Part 2 was a pretty good ending to the series. Although I kind of wish that both Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2 were as one movie.
Yeah, we all
want to sit there for 5 hours.
I would sit there for four or five hours, or at least trim
sort of the fatty parts of both stories and make it into one kick-ass.
Yeah, but I feel like they couldn't do that. They had to kind of give it its all for their fun, like, because this is a big friggin' deal.
Yeah,
I just felt like they couldn't do that. But I honestly, like, to kind of, like, look at all the movies I saw over the summer, I don't think there was a bad one in the bunch that I saw that I was like, I hate this movie.
No, yeah. I think it's been an awesome summer.
Yeah.
I agree.
Winter for you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Our summer, our winter blockbuster season.
Yes, it is really our winter blockbuster.
Okay. All right. I guess we can wrap the show up now.
Yeah.
Before we sort of head off, I'll ask everybody where our audience can find you on the internet this week. Marcy, where can people find you?
People can find me stalking Chris Evans. moving on. No, you can find us at supermarcy.com. You can add me on Twitter or, you know, like Super Podcast on Facebook, or just look up Super Marcy or Marcy blah 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 and you'll find me, because I'm everywhere.
I'm
legit
look up Marcy blah 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 on Google.
Yeah, look up Marcy blah blah blah, but you know what I mean.
How many blahs was that?
Lots of blahs. Marcy blah blah blah, but you know what I mean? You look up Super Marcy or you look up Marcy and you'll probably find, you know, Marcy Playground as well.
Cool.
Or, you know.
Yes.
Actually, I do have a blog post called Blah Blah Blah. There you go. That was like written 5 years ago.
Blah, 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 blah.
But yeah, that's where you can find me. So, yeah. No worries.
Nick, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, there's definitely no blahs in mine, but yeah, you can find my articles for movieoddies.com, part of Joe Blow. You can find my video tributes and other videos on the Joe Blow YouTube page or in the Joe Blow video section. Definitely got a bunch of other stuff for, you can add me Twitter as well. And yeah, pretty much it.
Logan, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, I'm not on the internet. I'm Googling pictures of Hayley Atwell while the American flag is raising in my pants. you can find me at the awesome supermarcy.com website, where I do my weekly recommendations, film reviews, and podcasting with such awesome people such as yourself.
Cool.
I'm also on pop-brick.com. I am on MFC, Movie Fan Central, WalkParlor33, Twitter, Facebook. I'm internet famous.
Just look up Logan, blah, blah, blah.
I guess for me, you can find me running around my house in my Captain America costume that I made when I was 8 years old and with my garbage can for a shield. But you can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/BJamai or my Facebook page at Facebook.
Facial book. Oh, that doesn't sound good.
That's the porno version of that site.
I am so starting that up.
Facebook.com/BJamai.
No, or, it's going to be facial book from now on.
Or my MFC page at moviefedcentral.com/terroristralis. Or you can ask me a question. Why I said facialbook.com at vu.com/BJamine, and also you can read my weekly writings for my movie song of the week and also my weekly recommendation for the week at supermarcy.com. And I somehow always end up destroying the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Facialbook.com.
Facialbook.com.
That's a new one. I'm so starting that.
You've heard it here first, folks.
I'm going to create a website that's a combination of MySpace and Facebook, and it's going to be cool. And I'm going to invite you guys. So you guys are going to come on my face.
Come on my face.
Everybody.
That joke on the internet, so I can't.
That is the dirtiest I've ever seen you. That is disturbing.
You can cut that out. I just thought it was hilarious. Since we're talking about
it. Facebook status.
It was actually read that on somebody's status a while ago. I just want to bring it up for no reason. Anyways, after this disturbing incident on the show, I hope everyone enjoyed the show, and see you later.
Bye.
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 Bye. Facialbook.com.